This fall, we're going through a series we're calling Core Beliefs. We want to talk about some of the things that we believe as Christians to set a foundation of who we are. And I don't know exactly where all of you are coming from, but maybe you believe Jesus is the way and you still feel lost. Maybe you believe he's the truth, but you find it hard to discern what actually is true. And maybe you believe that he is the life, but you struggle to find the life that God has for you. Every storm keeps you running. Every voice in your heart claims to be true. Every battle that takes place in your mind just leaves you dazed and confused. And this is where the enemy of God, of the kingdom of God, would love us to remain. A state where we know little of what God has said, leaving us captive to our thoughts and imaginations and robbing us from not only having a strong foundation, but even the revelation of what it is that we're meant to be building. So as a church family, and as your pastor, I want to set you up with a foundation that no storm will prevail against. A heart that can test its thoughts and attitudes by being confirmed or corrected through the knowledge of the Word of God. And I want to share a belief right down to the core of who you are. See, the large number of damaged and collapsed lives in today's church is a testimony to the pressing need to once again build a strong foundation. Matthew chapter 6, it's our key verse that we're going through this fall. It says this, Matthew 6:47, "I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built." This is who we want to be, right down to the core. With a strong foundation to build our lives on listening and following Jesus' teaching. So over this fall season, we've been talking through a few of these core beliefs that we hold. And we've been setting that foundation of who we are and what the church is built on. Christ, the solid rock. Well, today we're going to dive into the subject of promises, of contracts, there's one particular way. If you've been around Christians, you've probably heard of this idea of having a personal relationship with God, which can mean different things in different parts of the Bible, like having God as your friend, or God as your father, or God as a teacher. But there's one particular way that the Bible talks about this relationship that we have with God, and we find it all over. But strangely, in the church, we don't talk about it that much. It's this idea of a partnership with God. A partnership, like working alongside someone to accomplish a goal together. And this is actually what you see in the beginning of the Bible, right in the beginning of Genesis. God creates this good world full of this potential, and then he appoints these unique creatures, humans, as his partners in bringing more and more goodness out of all of that potential. But the humans, if you know the story, they don't want to partner with God. They rebel and try to create a world on their own terms. And so this broken partnership is the Bible's explanation for why we're stuck in a world full of corruption and injustice and tragedy, death, and sin. It's not like there's just one or two humans who have bailed on this relationship. The story of the Bible shows that everyone has abandoned their relationship with God. So what God does is he selects a smaller group of people out of the many, and he makes a new partnership with them called a covenant. See, we don't talk a lot about covenants today, but we should, because covenants are one of the most important themes found in the Bible. They are key to God's redemptive plan to restore humanity to his divine calling. In a few minutes, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 8. We're going to go through what it says, but before we go there, I want to walk you through this story of what a covenant is. Starting in Genesis, God enters into one formal partnership after another with various humans in order to rescue his world. And these divine human partnerships, they drive the narrative forward until it reaches its climax in Jesus. To tell the story of God redeeming humanity through Jesus is tell the whole story of God's covenant relationship with humans. See, in a covenant, God makes promises and then in exchange asks his partner to fulfill certain commitments. And the purpose of all of this is to somehow use this covenant relationship to renew his partnership with everybody else in the whole world. So to start with, what is a covenant? And how does this covenant story of the Bible begin? Well, a covenant is simply a relationship between two partners who make binding promises to each other and work together to reach a common goal. They're often accomplished by oaths and signs and different ceremonies. Covenants define obligations and commitments, but they're different from a contract because they're relational and they're personal. They have promises attached to them that cannot be broken, and even when the other party breaks their end of this agreement. See, a contract, we're familiar with them, because they say, if you do this, then I will do that. But a covenant is different. It says, I will do this, and you will do that. The if is removed in a covenant. There are no conditions that give a way out for either party. Think of a marriage. A husband and a wife choose to enter into a formal relationship. They bind themselves to one another in a lifelong faithfulness and devotion. And then they work as partners to reach this common goal, like raising a family, growing closer together, growing closer and deeper in their relationship with each other and God. But in modern society, we treat marriage like a contract. That given the right excuse or given the proper lawyers, the contract can be broken. But God never intended marriage to be this way. It was intended to be an example of his relationship with us. That's why we say it at weddings. What God put together, no man can separate. And this is why a broken marriage is so detrimental, a broken covenant. There was never, ever supposed to be a way out. It was to be a partnership with a common goal. They were to build life together. And when that's broken, much more gets destroyed, not just the contract. Covenant relationships are found throughout the Bible. There are personal covenants between two individuals, like the one found between David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 23. There's political covenants between two kings or nations, like the one between King Solomon and King Hiram in 1 Kings 5. There are also legal covenants with a nation, such as the laws about freeing Hebrew slaves and so forth. Entering into covenants, it was a major part of what it meant to live in the ancient Near East. So God partnered with humans through a structure that they already understood. In the Old Testament, there are actually four times that God initiates a covenant relationship with humanity. First with Noah, then with Abraham, the nation of Israel, and with King David. And it's through these that God is forming a covenant family into which all people will be eventually invited, even you and I. So let's briefly go through these and see how they work. The covenant story began when God created humans in his image to partner with him, spreading the goodness throughout the world. See, in the beginning, Genesis 1, the word covenant wasn't explicitly used, but the details of that relationship are so similar to later covenants in the text. So God invites Adam and Eve to be priest kings and represent his generous rule on earth. And they could enjoy and reproduce blessings of eternal life as long as they continued to trust and to partner with God. But as God lays out the terms of their relationship, he warns them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because it would bring the curse of death on humanity. And in their first test of covenant faithfulness, humans failed. They ate from the tree, fracturing the human-divine relationship and plunging humanity into corruption and death. We'd be still stuck in that wreckage if God had never intervened. But the rest of the Bible is all about how God is repairing this broken partnership with humans. You see, after Adam and Eve's exile from Eden, the biblical narrative, it feels grim. There's such an advancement of evil that by the time we come to the story of Noah, sin has enveloped the whole world, sending it back to pre-creation chaos. And this is where we come to our first formal covenant in the Bible. It's between God and Noah. In the story, God has just brought the flood to cleanse the world of humans' corruption, and Noah and his family are the only ones left. So God comes to Noah, and he makes a covenant, and he says, listen, I know humans will continue to be evil, but despite that, I'm not going to destroy it like this again. It's the promise God made. Instead, the earth will be this reliable place for us to work together. But Noah, being a covenant, all he has to do in response is nothing. And that's what's so interesting about this first covenant. God is promising to be faithful, even though he knows that humans won't be. God's covenant with Noah is unconditional, and his promise is accompanied with signs of faithfulness. And he gives us a rainbow to remind future generations of this covenant. After God makes a covenant with Noah, evil continues to ruin the world. And Genesis 9 to 11 traces the downward spiral of humanity, and we're left to wonder, how will God restore good in the world? The second time we see God come and make a covenant with a man named Abraham. God chooses him and promises to bless him, give him a large family, lots of land where they can flourish. That's God's promise. And in return, God asks Abraham to trust him and to train up his family to do what's good and right. And the whole reason for this covenant is God is saying that somehow he's going to bring blessings to all families in the world through this one family. Similar to Noah's covenant. This covenant is also accompanied by an outward sign, a reminder to Abraham and his ancestors. You see, God asks all the men in the family to be circumcised, a symbol that sets Abraham and his family apart and shows that their fertility, their future, it all lays in God's hands. Well, that's the story of Abraham. The next time we see this covenant come again, God makes a covenant when Abraham's family grows into the tribe of Israel. And this covenant is with the whole tribe. See, God asks them to obey a set of laws, which are these guidelines for living well as a community, as God's partners. And if they do this, then God promises to make Israel into a holy kingdom of priests that will spread his blessing and glory to all the nations. They will become a people when who they represent God to the rest of humanity. You see, this is the covenant with Israel. First with Noah, then with Abraham, then with Israel. The last covenant that we read about in the Old Testament is with King David. The tribe of Israel has become this large nation, and David is their king. And God asked David and his descendants to partner with him by leading Israel in obeying the laws and doing what's right and just. King David, he wants to build a temple for God to dwell with his people again. And God responds to this incredible desire by making a covenant promise with David, promising to make his name great and raise up a descendant from David's line, whose throne and kingdom will last forever, extending God's kingdom of peace and blessing to all of the nations. So those are the four covenants written about in the Old Testament. God makes in order to restore his partnership with the whole world. And in each of them, God promises that he will do something to restore humanity's relationship with him. And in return, he asks for his people to respond by being an example to the world, to show what living with this blessing that comes from knowing God looks like. And all of these covenants, they thematically build on one another. And here's what happens to them. Israel breaks the covenant because they worship other gods. They allow horrible injustice. And so they lose their land. They're forced off into exile. And they lose their relationship with God. And life becomes difficult. And they're not able to represent a blessed life, that partnership that they're intended to have to all of those around them. It all seems hopeless. But during this time, Israel's prophets, they prophesied of a day. They talked about a day when God would restore these covenants in spite of Israel's failure. Somehow. And they called it the new covenant. The new covenant. This new covenant is to be everlasting. God will write his law on the hearts of his people, bringing complete forgiveness of sin and raise up a faithful king from the line of David who will restore all that has been broken. This is the covenant that we are all invited into. And the anticipation of this covenant pushes the story forward into the pages of the New Testament, where we're all introduced to this man named Jesus. I want to read about it with you. So turn your Bibles. I said Ephesians. I was wrong. It's Hebrews. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8. And I want to talk about this man who was able, capable, faithful to fulfill the human side of the covenant promise. Hebrews chapter 8. Here's the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. Verse 2. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices, our high priest must make an offering too. If he were here on earth, he would not even be a priest, since there are already priests who offer the gifts required by the law. They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. I'm going to skip down to verse 6. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a better covenant with God, based on better promises. And this is actually what's so interesting about Jesus, that he's introduced into the story as the one who fulfills all of these covenant relationships. We're told that he's from the family of Abraham, so he'll bring blessings of that family to the whole world. And we're told that he's the faithful Israelite who is able to truly obey the law. And we're told that he is the king from the line of David, and so he goes about extending God's kingdom of justice and peace to all. That's really remarkable for one guy. And what it highlights is perhaps the most surprising claim of all made about this man. You see, Jesus is no mere human, but rather God become human. And God did this in order to be that faithful covenant partner that we were all meant to be. But we failed to be. And so through Jesus, God has opened up a way for anyone to be in a renewed partnership with him. You see, as we walked through those covenants, did you notice progressively built upon one another, forming a complete redemptive storyline? God preserved the world through Noah. He initiated redemption through Abraham. He established the nation of Israel through Moses. He promised an eternal king shepherd through David. And then he fulfilled all of his covenants, all of these promises through Jesus. With each covenant, God's promises and plans to save the world through this lineage become clearer and clearer until we finally see that redemption can only come through King Jesus. The New Testament. Ever wonder about that word? New Testament. It can be translated as new covenant. New testimony of a truth. New testament of a promise. New covenant. The New Testament authors present Jesus as the offspring of Abraham who trusted Yahweh, their God, even to the point of death and became a blameless, blessing to all nations. He's the greater Moses leading us out of bondage. He's the obedient Israelite who perfectly follows the laws of God. He's the royal son of David who inaugurated God's kingdom in his life, death, and resurrection, and who now sits at God's right hand forever, reigning as the one true king. Jesus perfectly succeeded at every point where humanity failed. He's the grantor and mediator of the new and better covenant. And now people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue who trust in Jesus can become part of this covenant family. In the new covenant, we receive the forgiveness of sins and God's empowering spirit to help us live lives full of self-giving love. Because of Jesus, we can righteously partner with him as he renews the world. Do you see the foundation that we're preparing this fall? Jesus calls all people to follow him, to become part of this new covenant family. And despite their failures, Jesus is committed to making them into partners who are becoming more and more faithful. And this story that I've shared with you, the one that the Bible writes about, this covenant, it's the one that Jesus is asking you today to be part of. God is inviting you to be part of this partnership. He's asking you to trust him with everything, even your family, even your future. To trust him enough to join his family, to join the church, so that all the families of the world can see the blessing of this relationship, this partnership lived out. He's asking you to participate with outward signs that you belong to him, allowing God to circumcise your heart. He's asking you to partner with him by leading others by doing what is right and what is just. And God asks you to participate in this community of believers, partnering with him on this mission to let everyone know that what God has done, to invite them to become part of these people who represent him to the rest of humanity. As we flip to the end pages of the Bible, the story ends with a version of a fully renewed world, full of goodness and full of peace. And there's this renewed humanity there, partnering together with God to expand the goodness of his creation. This is the covenant that he has initiated with us. It's an invitation for us to partner with him, to go and bring along everyone that we can, living a life that is blessed, living a life in his presence as his partners. Let's pray. God, this is a side of our relationship that we often don't talk about. Often we talk about how great you are as king, how you're worthy. Often we talk about becoming slaves to serve you, to give you everything that we have. God, we know you are more than enough, and we know that we can't do it on our own. But it is incredible, it is remarkable that you said, I understand that, but I want to partner with you. I want to bring you up to my level, and I want to work alongside of you. So today, on Thanksgiving, God, thank you for that. Thank you that you reached out to us, that you gave us this promise and required commitments from us. And even though we broke them, you found a man who didn't. You became that man who could fulfill those promises on our behalf. And so thank you that when we break our promises, you offer us forgiveness. That when we are not enough, you say, that's okay, I'm partnered with you. We are yoked together. We can be more than enough because I will carry you. So God, thank you for that. Today is the challenge. Help us to understand that. Help us to share this blessed life with the world, with those who don't know you, the ones we live by next to, the ones we work next to, the ones we go and enjoy our leisure time with. God, help us to be that side of the covenant promise where we say, this is what life with Jesus looks like. We're not perfect, but boy, is it blessed. Thank you for that blessing. Help us to live it out. In your name, amen. Amen. I don't know about you, this is not a conversation that I generally just have on the street with people. Hey, have you ever thought about a covenant? This is kind of a thing that I only seem to talk about at weddings. So I want us to break into our groups a little bit and talk about covenant. Talk about the difference between a contract and a promise. An expectation that God has for us and what we do when we don't break that. And if you could throw up a question on the screen. This is where I want us to go. Have you thought about what it means to be in this covenant with God before? Has it ever crossed your mind? Have you gone here with a partnership, equal terms? And how does this affect how you look at your relationship with God? So go for it. Go pray for each other. Go support each other. Go learn from each other as we share what God has revealed to us and we explore this question together. And with that, have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving.